Fairfield County Live and Local. We're presented by the Sono Collection. My name is John Kamal, 95.9 The Fox. And tonight, my featured act is a man of many talents and many projects, Billy Ruger. What's going on, man?
Hey, John. How's it going, man?
It's going pretty good, dude. It's going good. Thank you for hanging out with me tonight. So we've known each other kind of through mutual friends and stuff like that, but I've never really sat down and had a conversation with you. It's weird that the first time that we're doing this has to be digitally, but you know, that's 2020. So that's all.
Yep. Open. Sure, man.
Let me tell you. So quick story. The first time I met you, a project of yours, and I don't remember the name, was opening up for an old band of mine, Tracy Joe and the Toads.
Cooking Hooks.
Oh yeah. What was it again?
Cooking Hooks.
Crooked Hooks.
No, cooking.
Cooking Hooks. Cooking Hooks. Okay, cooking in the kitchen. There we go.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it was for one of our residencies and blah, blah, blah. And I remember, like, you know, you guys went up. I'd never heard of you before. And you went up and you started playing. And my first thought was like, fuck, dude, this is not gonna be fun to follow. Like, you've got chops, man. And you, like, I hear you on all of these different projects. I hear you on Love Raptor. I hear you on Drew Angus. But let's talk about just you for right now. How did you get started playing music? What was the genesis of that whole experience?
I started playing music because I became old enough to become interested in music, and for the first time discovered a band that, like, oh, I like this band.
How old was that?
What's that?
How old were you?
So I was I think I was in fifth grade. So I must have been about 11 or 12. And the band was Blink-182, and the album was Enema of the State. And I was like, you know, so for the first time I discovered music that I connected with, it felt like me, and I loved it. And I thought, man, like, wouldn't that be cool to go into the basement and plug in a guitar and do that, right? I became so obsessed with that idea that I sought out guitar lessons and started taking private guitar lessons with Brian Anderson, who's still in the area. Great guy, great player. And so that was like fifth, sixth grade. So that's why I started music.
I love that feeling when you first, like, start playing, and it's just so, it's like you have a magic trick. Springsteen has this whole bit on his like one man show about how it's like a magic trick when you first start. You're like, look at this thing that I can do. I can actually replicate these sounds. What was it about Blink that kind of that struck out to you?
I mean, it's kind of funny, like, looking back and seeing it, but a lot of it was like the music video and just that, like, the cultural relevance for me, you know, like, those were the days of TRL and stuff like that. Yeah. So I watched a lot of TV when I was a kid. So I'm like, I'm seeing these guys on TV. The music video is like, it's fun, it's cool, it's rebellious. Like, I think that's part of it, you know, just the, it seemed like something that was counter to a lot of things in life that maybe you didn't like at the time, or, you know, authority, control. Like, if you think about, like, punk, pop punk, it's this rebellion, you know. Right. I think that was huge for me, that aspect of it. Not Blink, to mention, like, yeah, the music, oh, yeah, the music is just fun, you know. It has this, like, this vibe, this energy that you connect with too. So,
well, that's what I was gonna say. Blink was great for that. Blink was, like, you know, I mean, because it obviously emo became a big thing early 2000s, and, you know, pop punk kind of got into this, like, darker territory. Blink was one of those, you know, Green Day before them, one of those bands that was just always a good time. It was always a lot of fun.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they had Adam's Song, they had Miss You and all of that, but, like, mostly it was just a good time.
Totally, man. Like, the music videos were funny. Like, it was literally comedy at the same time, you know?
Yeah, dude. So from there, like, so you start playing, you're around, you know, you said 11, 12, 13. Was there a moment when you first started, like, taking it seriously, or did you just, or was it from the word go, like, yeah, this is something that I want to do?
I would say I took it pretty seriously from the get go. Yeah. But it was like, I was a good student always. And so then when I started taking guitar lessons, I started up with a teacher, and I liked like doing well with something, and, you know, and getting that recognition from the person who's teaching you, be like, wow, you did a great job with this. Like, I was good at that. I was definitely interested in music, but I was also just a good student. So I would get, like, assignments, and I would work on them. You know, I was pretty diligent, come home every day from school and, like, do that while I'm watching, like, TV and MTV music videos and stuff. And, but, like, it was definitely more of a, It was more of like a lighter thing for me. Like I didn't take it as seriously as some maybe. Like I didn't have a band program in school growing up, so it was never this like really rigid structured thing for me. I think that I first started taking it seriously when I got older, you know, like closer to college, when like you can actually study it in school.
Yeah.
It changed a lot for me then.
Did you study music?
Yeah, I did. I started off with the University of Vermont music program. I was there for a few years and took some time off, then transferred to the New School for Jazz. And that's where I eventually graduated from. So I was in the academic bubble of music for a while.
Gotcha. So, yeah. that's a leap right there, though. Like, you know, you start off with Blink 182. And I should say, for people who are listening and maybe haven't heard you before, the music that you play now typically is nowhere near that kind of sound.
Of course.
That's one of the beautiful parts about learning music and playing guitar is that your sound and the sounds that appeal to you kind of start to evolve. Blink was the early influence. What was a later one? What was one of those ones that made you like want to study jazz and like get really into the theory aspect of it?
I don't know, man. That's kind of funny. I'd say like, you know, the next big leap from Blink was probably classic rock. You know, you start like I'd hear guitar solos. So I'm like, man, that's not something I do. Like, what's a guitar solo? And then also my teacher turned me on to people like Jimi Hendrix and Eric Clapton and even Robert Johnson, even further back into the blues tradition. So, and part of the blues and guitar playing is guitar solos, improvising. So that was like, that was the leap into improvised music for me, you know, like classic rock, like that vocabulary, you know, derived from the blues essentially. And then I got linked up with some guys in high school that were playing jazz that took me further into improvisation. But I'd say the classic rock was like that bridge from pop punk into that, a different form of music for me, you know?
Yeah. I feel like it's that way for a lot of players too. What about your own music? When did that happen? Was that in college or was that pre-college that you started, you know, branching out and writing your own material?
That started, I'd say like mostly in high school. Like the two most significant writing projects I had were a funk group I was in that started off being called Prophets of Funk. And this was all instrumental music. We had a horn player. That got me more into jazz and improvisation.
Yeah.
But that's when I first started writing actual pieces for a group. And that was in like, you know, like kind of funk tradition, but I also infused a lot of rock and classic rock into it. And then like a little bit of jazz too towards the end. So this group started off as Prophets of Funk. We were mostly a high school band. We eventually morphed into a band called Still Life, which got even heavier into fusion and the jazz side of things. But that was, you know, the first thing I started writing seriously for. So it was in that language, but simultaneously I started up in a group with my older brother called the Stereo Police. And this was more of a rock project, like rock kind of pop, which I was writing for as well. So this is vocal music, has lyrics. I was co-writing with my brother, Charlie, and our buddy, John. So we do all the music, all the lyrics. So I had these two projects simultaneously, one more like jazz improvisation, one more like rock pop.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. So like post-school, did you want to jump right into playing? That's the career choice. That's the career goal. What was your thought like getting out of school?
Getting out of school mean like graduating college?
Yeah.
Sorry. Say it again. Repeat the question.
I don't know. I was just saying, did you have a plan? Like, you know, you studied music. Was there a particular direction you wanted to go in? Like, you know, session work, songwriting, something like that? Or was it just,
man,
this is what I love, this is what I want to do, this is what I want to go after?
Yeah, man, there really wasn't much of a set path for me at that point. Like, I graduated from a jazz program, so I got pretty heavy into that world. I was living in New York, going to the New School, studying, you know, with everything jazz. And I think that I got to a point where I didn't see myself pursuing a career in jazz, even though I was really into it and involved and I liked the scene, but I just didn't see myself landing there. So it kind of took a while. I graduated from the New School in New York. I went back to Fairfield and I really had no set path, man. I just kept working on music for myself, you know, and eventually I came around to singing more. And that was probably the most significant thing that happened for me post-school and kind of determining where I was going to be heading musically. I started singing more. I started connecting more to the music I started out playing, to be honest, like more rock pop stuff, which I got kind of far away from. And I just eventually came to see myself more living in that space, but bringing everything that I kind of learned along the way and getting getting more back into writing music and kind of realizing that was the direction I wanted to take my music in and kind of the career path I wanted to follow.
Well, that's funny because, you know what, we hadn't even spoken about vocals. I was over here kind of just assuming that you were singing the whole time, but singing wasn't really a thing for you until post-college?
It had been a thing, but I was not singing lead vocals. So in that project I referred to earlier, Stereo Police, with my brother, Charlie, he was the lead singer. But that's when I got into singing backup vocals. So that group, this is like end of high school through some of college. That was my first experience singing publicly, just singing backup vocals. And then once I finally graduated college, I was like, you know, I want to do this more. I want to sing lead vocals. I want to be a front man, which is always what I wanted to be. Ever since I picked up the instrument, I idolized front men who they were singers and guitarists. They weren't just a guitarist, you know?
No, absolutely, dude. Absolutely. So, I mean, and by the way, it's 95.9 The Fox, Fairfield County, live and local. For people who are just watching right now, I'm talking to Billy Ruger. And coming up at 9 p.m., we're going to hear three songs that feature you, one of which is an original composition of yours that I did want to talk about a little bit. And we're kind of jumping around in the timeline here, but you've got this new song, Chasing Rainbows, and it's from an upcoming EP, full album.
It's going to eventually be an EP, and this is something that's been very delayed due to coronavirus and stuff, you know. But yeah, so I'm releasing it as a single pretty soon, but this is going to be part of a 5-song EP, which will be released sometime in 2021.
Nice. Who's on that project with you, or are you just doing
it? Well, it's kind of to be determined. But yeah, it is definitely to be determined. I can tell you what exists for this, for Chasing Rainbows, but a lot of unknowns for the coming releases.
Okay. All right, right on. So is the whole thing written already, or are you still in the writing process of it?
Some of the other ones are written. A few of them are unfinished.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha.
But it's not very heavily planned out.
All right. Oh, yeah. Listen, hey, it's 2020, man. You can't plan anything.
Well, that's the thing. So my plan was to release this 5-song EP by the end of the year, but things got very derailed. So it's taken a backseat for sure. But this single, at least, we're getting finished. So I'm happy to be releasing that soon, you know?
Got you. Yeah. So we're gonna hear that. We're gonna hear that at around 9 o'clock. I think the show before mine's running a little bit early. So we'll make sure we'll let people watch and know when that starts. But
cool.
The other two songs though I have on here, and this is one of the things that I love about you, is that you play with a ton of really cool people. The other two songs are Double Bill by Love Raptor.
Yeah.
And I've got, you can check out my podcast with Mikhail Pivovaro from Love Raptor. And Drew Angus, who you can also check out a podcast that I did with. Two great guys. How did you fall in with Love Raptor, though? Because that's an eclectic group. That's an extremely, for people who don't know, it's this project that mostly releases weekly content. And it's all cover material, or it's mostly cover material, I should say.
Mostly.
But the one we're going to play tonight is actually an original. That features you. Double Bill is an original, right?
That is original. Yeah.
Right. Because of the name. How did you fall in with those guys and start playing with them?
So this all started through me meeting Mikhail at Chef's Table in Fairfield. Have you been to Chef's Table?
Wonderful restaurant.
Yeah, great spot. So like eatery with live music. Right. So. I started playing there years ago, but actually when I finished college and got back home, I started playing there a ton. And that was when I first started singing lead vocals publicly. I would play at Chef's Table during lunchtime. And I eventually got to the point where I was playing there 3 or 4 days a week. So I was there a lot. And that's where I built up my set. So I was, you know, playing solos, you know, playing guitar, singing. And Mikhail would be in there quite a bit because he'd be recording at his place down the road in Black Rock. And on their lunch break, he would usually take the people he's working with out to lunch at Chef's Table. So we kind of met through that connection. He would be sitting down just getting lunch in and out while I was playing music. And he eventually told me one day that he's like, hey, I'm thinking of starting this funk project. Would you be interested in being a part of it? And in my mind, I was thinking like, oh, we're gonna play live shows and stuff. Regardless, I was interested, but then eventually I'm talking to him. He's like, no, like this is actually be more of like a studio thing. We're gonna make videos and release them. It was just through meeting Mikhail at Chef's Table, and we literally had not even worked together, but he brought this up to me, you know, hey, you know, do you want to be part of this project?
Nice.
Yeah.
Did you know, sorry, and you might have said this before, did you know him personally, or was this purely just him showing up at Chef's Table and being like, oh yeah, the guy from Chef's Table, you should come work with
him? We chatted a number of times. Okay. Yeah, like when he would stop in for, you know, we would just chat and we kind of became friends.
Oh, right on, right on. And what about Drew? How'd you meet Drew? Drew Angus, by the way, sorry, for people who don't know, phenomenal singer-songwriter, based out of Westport, spent many years in New York, and is now back in the Fairfield County, the greater Fairfield County area. How'd you get involved with him?
I met Drew at Shearwater Coffee Bar in Fairfield. He was playing there one Saturday night, and I didn't know who he was, but I saw him advertised on Facebook, and I was just around, so I thought, hey, let's go check it out, you know, and I sat down and watched Drew's set, and I was just blown away, man. I was like, wow, this guy is such a talented singer. This is awesome. And I just met him after that, and I think we got connected somehow, like maybe social media. I just kind of stayed in touch, and the next major thing we did together was I did a John Mayer tribute show at the Acoustic, and I needed to get a vocalist, you know, to sing with me. And I was like, man, I want to call Drew because he just blew me away so much. And we'd been in touch a little bit. And then we wound up working together on that project. And then we kind of just, you know, started working on more things together. I eventually started playing guitar in his band a little bit too. So
yeah. I've been seeing the live streams, man. You sound good. It's awesome.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, dude. And now you mentioned this John Mayer project. So tell me, start from the beginning with that. Tell me a little bit more about that. In fact, you know what? Even more so, because the first time that you played when you played with my band, you played a couple of John Mayer tunes. What is it about John Mayer that you enjoy so much?
It's hard to point out one thing. If I had to point out one thing,
that look on your face said so many things.
No, so I could point out one or two primary. I mean, like the first thing obviously is just awesome guitar playing, and not like not jaw dropping chops. You know, it's more just like it's this feel and like expressivity through the guitar that, you know, and the sound that he has that it's so amazing to me. And what, you know. Second, I'd say songwriting. I just like the songs are just so like catchy and enjoyable and relatable, at least to me. So to have that combination is rare. You know, I often enjoy guitarists a lot, but I'm not going to love the songs they write. You know, to have like someone who's so great at both and then the same person, the same package. It's like it's awesome. I have a ton of respect for that.
So tell me about this project that you're doing right now, because you're covering and it's all digital content, correct?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. So this project I'm doing right now, I'm in the midst of it. It's called I call it the Continuum Cover Project, because I'm covering all 12 songs from his album Continuum in order. And this is in video format. So, you know, doing the full track, making a video, releasing it to YouTube and sharing it to, you know, Facebook, Instagram, all the platforms. And man, like really dissecting the tracks too, the way they were recorded, you know, like all the different guitars that are happening. And it's been just a great, it's a lot of fun for me. I love the music so much. So that's why I wanted to do it, you know?
Right, right. It's funny. I mean, I wonder, Hunter Thompson loved Hemingway. Hunter Thompson was like a huge Hemingway fan. And I always heard this story that he locked himself in a hotel room and he rewrote For Whom the Bell Tolls just word for word, just on a typewriter, just typing it out just so he could kind of get into the way that Hemingway thinks. Is it kind of the same? I know that's a wild story, right? Is it kind of the same thing like with this project that you're doing, like by going note for note and really trying to do an honest to God recreation of an album and of a song? Is it like, for you, is it just a way of getting into a player that you respect's head, or is it just like, I just want to do it?
There is an element of that, but at the same time, man, I think like there's so many artists I could do that with and would love doing that with. Right. And John Mayer happens to be the artist who I'm like the most compelled to, but I love the feeling of just getting so deep into music. Doesn't matter what music it is. For me, it's like one of the most awesome, pleasurable things. I love it. I've always done it. You know, like when I was learning any style of music, man, I loved listening to recordings and just figuring out exactly what's happening and replicating it. Like I love doing that. It's so gratifying to me. And in the end, you pick up some of that player's vocabulary too.
So, yeah.
So there's totally an element of, you know, I love his vocabulary. I'd love to have some of that sound. But also it's so enjoyable for me just as a player to be able to do that.
Nice, man. And yeah, we're talking to Billy Ruger. It's Fairfield County Live and Local 95.9 The Fox. In a couple of minutes, about five-ish minutes, let me check my other screen here, we're going to hear Billy's brand new single, which is called Chasing Rainbows. This is the only place you can hear this song right now, right? Because it's not out on iTunes and Spotify yet, coming out.
Exactly. Friday, November 6th.
Yeah. And that's coming up in a little while. Before I let you go, because I don't want to play I don't want this interview to run over the song. Tell me a little bit about the recording process for Chasing Rainbows. Did you do that? Was that at home? Did you go to a studio? How did you make it all come together?
Yeah. So I went to Tarkin Studios in Bridgeport.
Yeah.
And so I recorded this with my buddy, Kurt Leon, drummer of Alternate Roots, great friend of mine. And he's got his studio set up on the first floor there. So he is the engineer and also the producer of the track. So it's just been spending a lot of time with Kurt at Tarkin. We got my buddy Matt to play bass on the track. I did all the guitars, keyboards, Kurt did the drums, and he's doing all the mixing. So, just multiple sessions at Tarkin, putting that all together.
What was the inspiration behind the tune?
It's just like, it wasn't any specific life event. It was more just kind of just thinking about this idea in life of, you know, everyone's striving to improve their situation or be something better, but also like how that striving can sometimes be a little misguided, or how those people in life telling you that like if you just do this you'll be happier, if you just do this, and it's kind of like this, you know, just the idea of striving for something different in life and how it's, you know, you may not always get there.
Right. Nice, man. Well, yeah. So that's Chasing Rainbows, new single. It's going to be out November 6th. And we're going to hear it in just a couple of minutes. Before we go, though, where can people hear you play live in the near future, man?
All right. So near future. So this Wednesday, let me just get my calendar. Yeah, this Wednesday night, I will be playing solo at Barcelona Wine Bar in Fairfield. Thursday, we got the Sono Collection gig.
Hey, we'll talk about that in a second. Sorry.
Yeah, sure. Friday, the 18th, Little Goose in Fairfield. And so, yeah, those are like Barcelona Wine Bar, Little Goose, all very consistent solo gigs for me. I do a mix of covers and originals.
Nice, dude. Well, good, dude. Listen, and like, good for you, because it's hard to keep a consistent gig schedule going. But you've got like the whole week mapped out, man. Nicely done.
Oh yeah, it's great. Yeah, it's awesome. It's, you know, it sometimes it fills in nicely, sometimes it doesn't. It's a little hit or miss right now, but when it does, it's really great. I'm really happy for that.
Right. And yes, he did mention earlier, you can check out at the Sono Collection this Thursday, a free show every single Thursday, live and local, hosts a happy hour at the Sono Collection. The Fox tent is there. We give away prizes. We got happy hour. We got Billy Ruger this Thursday. So how can you beat that? You can come check that out. All right, man, I don't want to talk over this song. I think the show behind me is about to close. So if you are watching right now, if you are listening, and you live in Fairfield County, you can go to 95.9 FM in just a couple of minutes and you can hear Billy Ruger's brand new song, Chasing Rainbows, plus two other songs that feature him. And if you don't live in Fairfield County, Connecticut, you can just go to 959thefox.com and you can stream the entire show, these three songs that feature Billy Ruger, and another hour of local Connecticut music right after that. Billy, dude, thank you so much for coming on tonight, man.
Thanks so much, John.